In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today about Christmas. And I have been asked over and over again for suggestions for simplifying Christmas. And I gave you one suggestion, that you have your gift giving on January the 6th, which is traditionally the day when the wise men brought their gifts to Jesus. So it's very appropriate. You can thereby concentrate on the story of Jesus' birth in the manger and have the creche, if you have a creche in your home and you do it that way. You have time to attend the Christmas services in your church, and you can have a much quieter Christmas. Furthermore, just think, you could do all your Christmas shopping after Christmas, and there are all kinds of sales then. You know, they're trying to get rid of things that people are trying to get rid of, and you might find that that would be a wonderful way to simplify your Christmas. You don't have the mad rush. You can even wait till after January the 1st and do your Christmas shopping. My friend Linda Myers tells me that a friend of hers has come up with a very interesting idea about Christmas for her children. They are required either to make a gift for somebody else in the family, something that they make with their own hands, or give something of their own, some toy perhaps that they will give up, even though they may still love the toy, but something that is worth something to the other person. And the third possibility is an act of service, which might be an act of service for a person in the family, or perhaps they would participate in helping out in a soup kitchen. So those are a few suggestions for making your Christmas simpler. I would suggest that everybody give smaller gifts. Is there some particular reason why we have to continually up the ante and give bigger and bigger things? Especially when you get to the age of, let's say, 50, you pretty much have more than you need. And by the time you get to my age, I'm constantly weeding out and giving things away and getting rid of things because I don't want my poor daughter to have to go through such enormous piles of junk. So think about getting smaller gifts, making homemade gifts, and who would ever turn down a homemade loaf of bread? It is very cheap compared to most of the gifts that people give, and yet probably much more appreciated. My husband and I have gotten to the point where we really don't want anybody to give us anything that's not edible. I mean, we can still pretty well make away with the edible things that people give us, but as for other things, very often they have to go to the thrift shop in order that our house not be jammed with kind offers. You may decide to limit gifts to small children. They're the ones that are the most fun to watch at Christmas time, and you don't need to be preoccupied with looking at your own Christmas presents if you just decide that there's a cutoff point, say 10 years perhaps, or 12 years old. From then on, we're adults, and 12, I really do believe, ought to be recognized as the move into adulthood. Forget about the word teenagers and remember that Jesus was an adult by the time he was 12 because he recognized his obligation to be about his Father's business. I have here an email from someone telling me that they appreciate me and my ministry, and she says, "You blessed my life in many ways, and I'm so grateful for that. To God be the glory." She says, "To start off the new year, I have decided that when I wake up in the morning, I will spend a few minutes exercising in my bed, like that precious 80-year-old lady that you spoke about recently. See how God uses even an 80-year-old woman to encourage others. Then I go into our study and connect to Gateway to Joy via the internet. And while I listen to you, I exercise. It makes exercising, which I do not like, to be bearable. This lady's letter goes on to say, I want to come see you in Dallas in February, but I'm not yet sure if I'll be able to. I've always wanted to meet you and hug your neck. That's a Southern expression, isn't it? Just want to hug your neck. And thank you in person for all you do to encourage women, especially me. I have one child who is 9 years old, and my husband and I want more children. We have been trying for several years to have a baby and have not yet. Please pray with us that God would give us one. Please pray, too, that He would give us wisdom as to how we should proceed each day. I would like to ask one more request of you. In your December newsletter, you mentioned what some of your friends and family do for Christmas that is different from the norm. I really desire to do some things differently during the Christmas holiday season. I want to focus on the birth of Christ more than anything else. I took some first steps this year by not putting up a tree and not spending days decorating for Christmas. I just put out a few Christmas pillows, some candles, and fresh flowers. It was wonderful not worrying with all of that decorating. However, I want to do more. I believe as Christians we need to set an example for the world around us. However, we fall into the trap of buying all these presents. Some of the traditions we celebrate are not found anywhere in Scripture, except the celebration of the birth of Christ. I would like to know what you and your family do. I wish you would do a few programs dedicated to this. Well, that's what I've been up to this week, isn't it? She says, I have talked to several of my friends, and they feel the same way as I do, but how do we change? I want to have a simple Christmas this coming year and get away from the materialism, the malls, and the pressure and obligations we sometimes feel to give gifts. I hope you understand this and can help. Now, what can we say to people who say that they and their friends would like to scale down their Christmas? Obviously, somebody is the one who has to take the initiative. Is it going to be you? Or does everybody sit around and think, well, she gave me such a beautiful gift last Christmas, I'd feel really awful if I didn't give her something that measured up to that this Christmas? Why don't you just be honest and straightforward with your friends and just say, we've just decided that there are so many things that we want to give to those who have nothing. I'm sure you're not going to mind if we give you something simple, maybe something homemade. And would you do us the courtesy to give us, if you're going to give us a gift, let it be smaller than it was last year? Have you got the courage, the fortitude, the moral stamina, shall we say, to actually broach that subject with your friends? Well, I hope so, because I do believe that the Lord wants us to have a simpler life. And I have a suggestion for all of you. I'm sure that most of you know the Londonderry Air, also known as Danny Boy. It's a familiar tune. Did you know that it has beautiful Christian words? I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men, or why as shepherd he should seek the wanderers to bring them back. They know not how or when. But this I know, that he was born of Mary when Bethlehem's manger was his only home, and that he lived at Nazareth and labored. And so the Savior of the world, is come. I cannot tell how silently he suffered, as with his peace he graced this place of tears, or how his heart upon the cross was broken, the crown of pain to 33 years. But this I know, he heals the brokenhearted and stays our sin and calms our lurking fear and lifts the burden from the heavy laden. For yet the Savior of the world, is here. I cannot tell how he will win the nations, how he will claim his earthly heritage, how satisfy the needs and aspirations of East and West of sinner and of sage. But this I know, all flesh shall see his glory, and he shall reap the harvest he has sown. And some glad day his sun shall shine in splendor, when he the Savior of the world is known. I cannot tell how all the lands shall worship when at his bidding every storm is stilled, or who can say how great the jubilation when all the hearts of men with love are filled. But this I know, the skies will thrill with rapture, and myriad human voices sing, and earth to heaven, and heaven to earth will answer. At last, the Savior of the world, is King.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.